Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you around today. A little later on in the show, we're going to get some holiday travel tips from Rick Seney of FareCompared.com. Looking forward to that. Find out what's a good time to shop for those holiday flights. But first, with the temperatures dropping and the clocks turned back, it seems the days are getting shorter. And for some people, that can mean the onset of SAD, as they call it, or seasonal affective disorder. And my guest today is Dr. Mahmoud Ahmed, who is a psychiatrist at the Marshfield Clinic. And it's great to have him along today to talk with us, Marshfield Clinic in Eau Claire, to talk with us about seasonal affective disorder and what you and I might be able to do about it if we're suffering from it. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We would certainly love to hear from you. Dr. Ahmed, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Good morning, Mr. Mueller. Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to be on the phone with you here today.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, first, for those who may not be familiar, what is seasonal affective disorder?
Seasonal affective disorder is some type of a mood disorder which has tendency to be recurrent and almost same time of the year over a period of few years. For example, people become depressed, say, from at the beginning of the fall through winter, and their mood starts to improve again sometime in the spring and the summer. And this usually happens over a period of a few years. There is a pattern there. It is affected by the season of the year.
So it's a heck of a long time.
Yes.
to be sad.
It's not a pleasant thing. And the issue when I said mood disorder, most of the time people have what's called depression. But this depression, it is not usually the depression that we are used to. It is what's called atypical depression. What happened?
What does that mean?
Which means that they become depressed, sad, very sensitive, extra sensitive to being criticized. They sleep more than the patients who are depressed. They sleep hours and hours. They want to stay in bed. Their appetite is becoming excessive. They eat a lot, especially carbohydrates and sugary food. They gain weight, they become sad, irritable, and they kind of become very irritable easily.
Yeah, and substance abuse?
Oh, they drink a lot. Their alcohol consumption or the use of drugs, whether it is prescription medication or illicit drugs, increase tremendously during this period of time. Their social interaction becomes very limited.
One of my PhD students wound up working in Barrow, Alaska. And as you probably know there, it's dark. Dark 24 hours a day for I don't know how many months. And he was saying that alcoholism there was, and the substance abuse was just skyrocketed during that time period of the year.
Very much so. And Wisconsin is not different. It's a very becoming very difficult problem during this time of the year.
So the we have callers online, by the way. I want to join in, have them join in with questions or comments. And let me give you the number. If you'd like to join us, it's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments as we talk today with Dr. Mahmoud Ahmed, psychiatrist at the Marshfield Clinic in Eau Claire, about seasonal affective disorder. Love to hear from you. Steve in South Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's just go there. Steve, thank you for calling. Hello.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question regarding the light therapy used for seasonal affective disorder. And as I recall in the past, you had to have so many thousands of lumens in order for it to take effect. But recently I've heard that we should turn off our electronic devices maybe an hour or two before we go to bed because the blue light also affects the melatonin production. And I'm wondering if there's been any tweaking of that light recommendation in which they use a blue light at a lower intensity to get the same effect as that bright light.
That's a wonderful question, Steve. In fact, when we are talking about seasonal affective disorder or SAD, the star of this topic is light therapy. Light therapy is very important in the treatment of SAD, but the traditional, the most studied, most researched type of light, somehow they came up with 10,000 lux. It's a unit of light and intensity of light. It has, you have to use these quote unquote light boxes half hour early during the day, early part of the day, which is you kind of, but the to use it, you have to not to look directly into the light box. You could put it on the table while you are eating breakfast or reading the newspaper or sometime shaving or whatever, doing your activities. Don't look directly into the light. But the issue that Steve raised is a very important, and we are struggling as physicians and psychiatrists especially about the use of laptop computers at night, because it really, really affects the patient's sleep. People don't sleep well if they are stuck in front of the computer monitor hours before sleep, and they come to us and complaining about problem with sleep. In fact, I was in a conference recently, and they started to talk about the impact of these computer monitors on sleep, especially they recommend, as Steve said, they recommend that you don't use it 2 or 3 hours before going to bed. Because what does it do in the brain? We don't know. Does it affect the melatonin production? We don't know yet. It's a very, very new area of research. But the nature of what kind of light and all of that, I am not expert in that area. But we know very well that Apple and different computer manufacturers are looking into how to change the monitor and the light used in the monitor because of that particular issue. In fact, I heard that they are making some changes. The intensity of the light, don't ask me about this because I'm not expert in that area. They are thinking about changing it, the way they can build those monitors, especially because people who are using it at night.
Steve, good question. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I wonder, well, let's go to Joel in Reeseville next. Joel, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. We were talking about some of the symptoms that increase the eating and the irritability and general depression.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about the symptoms of stress increasing and how that affects migraines.
So are migraines a part of SAD?
You see, again, you wonderful question, very good question here, because what happened, there is a definite correlation, relationship between stress, depression, and anxiety, and other general health issues, especially migraine headache, seizure disorders, and other problem like irritable bowel syndrome, other diarrhea and all of this stuff, especially the increase with the stress. And yes, migraine, the frequency and intensity of migraine increases with stress, which is what? What stress is what? People are getting into the dark season, the shortened daylight. We are approaching the holidays, and we know very well what comes with the holidays, which is supposed to be a wonderful, enjoyable time of the year. But somehow we are retrained ourselves to make it a stressful time of the year, whether financial issues, whether family issues, or there is underlying low-grade depression, whether it is the typical depression or the seasonal affective disorder. Yes, migraine increases during stress, and this time of the year, especially with SAD, definitely it increases.
All right. Joel, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Chris in Greendale, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hey. I was wondering if there's any, if your guest knows of any link between, the modern sort of carb-rich diet, you know, very high in refined sugars and things, and seasonal affective disorder.
So what about diet and SAD?
Okay. I'll tell you something. One, I'm so glad also that you brought this. You see, we established already that the incidence of seasonal affective disorder, it increases the further we go away from the equator, okay? The higher, the more north we go, the higher the incidence of seasonal affective disorder. But there is an exception. There is an exception. They found that a country, Iceland, for example, which is very, very, very high. It cannot be, you know, very close to the North Pole, you know. The incidence of seasonal affective disorder is much less than the rest of the world. Why is that? It's a puzzling answer, puzzling question here, because they eat a lot of fish. Their diet is much higher. Maybe they eat maybe 3-4 times the amount of fish that an American regular diet we have. Unfortunately, we don't eat a lot of fish. And they found that there are much less incidence of seasonal affective disorder. So, to answer the question whether carb you said high carb diet or low carb diet?
High carb, I think he said.
High carb diet is, again, I'm not a dietitian, but whatever works for the individual, whatever diet you follow, as long as it's going to take care of your general health, and it is monitored closely by your physician and does not cause problem, because we know at least we have 2,500 different kinds of diets. And each of these diets, they claim that they are the only bestest type of diet. Whatever works, but as long as your general health is good, including your mood is good, your diabetes is being controlled, your blood pressure, your arthritis, your cholesterol is monitored and is going down or being in good shape, it's okay. And believe me, I feel strongly that as long as you are following diet, whatever the diet nature is, it clearly indicates that you are taking care of yourself and you are taking charge over your life by eating healthy diet, regardless what kind of diet you are using, as long as it is well studied, monitored closely by you and your doctor, it does not cause problem. This is a good thing to do.
Dr. Mahmoud Ahmed, psychiatrist at Marshfield Clinic in Eau Claire, our guest today as we talk with him about seasonal affective disorder. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you experience seasonal affective disorder, or does someone in your family experience it? Or do you want to learn some more about it? You're at the right place. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Mahmoud Ahmed, psychiatrist at Marshfield Clinic in Eau Claire, to talk about it. We'll, a little later on, we'll talk about holiday travel along about 11:45. But right now, seasonal affective disorder, call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Christopher in Sparta, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
My question is, well, it's sort of so some people are naturally wired to be what we'd call a night owl. I enjoy being up at the night, and to me, the daytime is, I work, you know, second shift. I get done when it's dark, and I spend some time before I go to bed when it's dark. Most of my time is spent in the dark. I enjoy the dark. For me, my seasonal affective, if I could say I have symptoms of it, would they manifest in the summer when the days are longer? What do you think? Is there any research into that?
Yes, there is research on that, because what's happened, that it's an excellent point, an excellent observation. There are some people that the issue is seasonal. And they did not say winter or summer. They say seasonal. Because some people, their mood symptoms, it is related to the intensity of the light, whether it is longer or shorter daylight, regardless. And for you to say that you are having problem in longer daylights, like in the summer, in fact, this is typically seasonal affective disorder. And what happened, the treatment is, you see, we are promoting light therapy. In your case, also is going to be light therapy, but the advice is to expose yourself to less light. And look at you. You are smart. You decided that I like the dark. I'm going to work at night and sleep during the day. And most probably, when you are asleep during the day, you are sure that the curtains are pulled out. It is dark and dark in your room. And this is the treatment of the people who have seasonal affective disorder during the summertime, to have the curtain pulled out, pulled in, and closed and in a dark room. And you accommodated, you adjusted yourself by working at night where it is less light.
Is there anything more he could do?
Again, be sure that when he goes out during the day, he has dark glasses, suntan, and all of these cover his body, avoid the light. And if there are any symptoms suggestive of some type of mood disorder, you know, it's a good idea for him to seek help.
We have Tom in Rio with a question for you next, Dr. Ahmed. Let's go there. Thank you for calling, Tom.
Yes, my question is, now, I used to ice fish a lot and get outside during the winter. Now, the last year or two, I haven't done that. And I do think I suffer from this, but my question then is, getting outside in the winter, even though there's less sunlight, do you think that that is a way to deal with this problem?
Some more exercise.
Yeah, getting outside and maybe getting as much sunlight as you can.
And doing some exercise. So what about exercise, getting outdoors, Dr. Ahmed?
In fact, this is, again, you know, I am so pleased again that you brought this up, because part of the overall general treatment for seasonal affective disorder, in addition to the light therapy, the diet and medication, counseling. And unfortunately, a lot of people ignore the value of going outside and exercise, because nothing like the natural, normal light. And believe it or not, those sunny day or a snowy day in Wisconsin, I want you to review your feelings and your mood during when it snows. You find when it is snowing, your mood improve a little bit, because somehow with the white color of the snow and the reflection of the light, you get some dose of light, and this improve your mood. And for you to decide to go out and walk during the winter outside, this is a very smart and highly recommended way of dealing with the seasonal affective disorder by, number one, taking an action, not hibernate and stay indoor, go outside, expose yourself to the light. Exercise by itself improve the mood, and you are taking charge, and you are not surrendering to that the natural, comfortable, expected desire to hibernate and leave me alone, and you stay home. So that's a good, I do recommend this to my patients.
Mm. Bill in Barneveld, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Yeah, that's. Thank you for this great topic and your very charming guest. And his comment is a great segue into mine. I'm one of those people that I love October, but October doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. It's always, if you look at my personal history, whenever I break up relationships or drop out of school or whatever, it's always been October, because that's when I'm just feeling low. And I found that the key for me is basically what Dr. Ackman said, is exercise, just running a few times a week or walking. And what I found is the key for me is I have to start this in August or September, because if I wait until, October, when I'm starting to feel down and low energy, I just don't have the inspiration left to start a running program.
Yeah.
But if I can start it in August and September, then I just tend to sail through October. And I don't suffer from it in winter. I think I have the same sense of what your doctor said. I just enjoy being out more in winter because, ice fishing, snowshoeing, skiing. And I think then the world is white and reflecting all this light back, on those clear blue winter days. And I just get a sense that my eyes are flooded with light much more in the winter, actually, than they are in kind of the dreary days of October and November.
I really appreciate the comment you are making. But you said something that it is the most essential part of the whole management of seasonal affective disorder. You are taking a very early, smart, proactive approach. It is not, you are not waiting till the depression sets in. You are beating the depression by, you are not waiting till October. You are preparing it from August and September. And this is a wonderful way to prepare yourself. In fact, a lot of my patients, we have the seasonal affective disorder. We already established the history because we can predict the future. We can predict the future if we study history well. And a lot of my patients, that we decide that we make some adjustment in the treatment plan, whether by adjusting medication, increase the level of physical activities, increasing the frequency of counseling way before October. And you said it August and September. I cannot agree with anybody more than I agree with you now.
You're doing the right things, Bill. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I agree with you, too. It's fun to be outside and on one of those blue, bright blue days with the snow on the ground. Man, it just, at least for me, it just lifts my spirits.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
Phyllis, in Michigan, up next with a question. Hi, thanks for calling.
Thank you for this program. Could you please tell me if vitamin D supplements can improve the symptoms of SAD?
Again, a very good question. You remember when I said something about Iceland? Why the people in Iceland, they do not suffer from seasonal affective disorder as other people in the world? And I think that we don't know the secret for that, but they are suspecting that vitamin D plays a role in that. And during the last 5-6 years in psychiatry, they started to study the impact of vitamin D and vitamin D deficiency on mood disorder. It is not out there. We don't know the answer 100%, but it is vitamin D is becoming one of the things that we have to keep an eye on when we see patients with mood disorder. And again, the answer how much you need to take, my answer is, one tablet of multivitamin during the day is great. You exercise, expose yourself to the sun in a healthy, controlled, safe way, and eating the wonderful meal of fish and the vegetable, fruits and vegetables, which has a rich in healthy nutrients, is what we need. But vitamin D is part of the discussion about mood in general, mood disorder in general, and seasonal affective disorder.
Hmm. Thanks, Phyllis, for calling. And just to go along with that, you mentioned fish and eating fish a lot. I know people who take fish oil supplements. Do you think that would have some impact as opposed to maybe eating as much fish as you might eat, for example?
Again, nothing, you see, nothing like eating the real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, fish is good for you.
Yeah.
But one tablet of fish oil a day is not going to hurt, but 20 is not good. You see, anything in moderation is good for you, but we should not overdo it.
We have Judy in Centuria who says she has a medical condition in which she can't be out in the sun at all. So that's difficult for her, wondering about advice for her. I suppose it might be similar to the advice you gave the person who works evenings.
Okay. I hope that I am not giving the impression that the only way to treat seasonal affective disorder is just the light therapy. There are other things. In fact, the medication we have, the psychotropic medication, mainly antidepressant, it is becoming very important, plays a very important role in the management of mood, the seasonal affective disorder. And to my surprise, it is, it's working and it does work very well. Also, psychotherapy is very important. And regarding the light, if she cannot be in the light, in the sunlight, just pull out the kind of open the drapes, bring the light, more regular light, indirect light to the house during the day will be also beneficial.
Yeah.
Yes, because we know there are some medical conditions and people are taking certain medication, they should avoid the direct sunlight.
We have a Facebook comment from Daniel who says he struggled with SAD over the years here in Wisconsin. Things that have helped him, for one thing, get a pet, he says, even if it's just a goldfish in a bowl. Get some easy-to-care-for green plants in your home. Drink plenty of water. Go for walks at lunchtime when the sun is overhead. Those are things that he does.
I, again, there is nothing like having a pet. There is a mess. There is a mistake. We all say we take care of our cats and dogs. But in reality, they take care of us. They are they kind of improve our mood. So we are gaining more from them more than they gaining from us. So pet, it's kind of to have a purpose for somebody to need you. This is excellent. Yeah. And somebody to come to you when they need you. This is wonderful. But some of my patients, they found out getting a dog, which is very important because whether you like it or not, the dog forces you to go out on walks every day.
Yeah.
And this is wonderful. It works, and it works very well. And you see, Larry, the beauty of the discussion we're having here, people are talking about a real life experiences. And most of these experiences, they work because it's on their own personal events and their own personal experiences. And all of it has been very positive.
Yeah.
Beneficial.
I would agree. Phil in Hebron, Illinois has a comment for us. Phil, thank you for calling. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a couple of quick comments, Larry. I work in agriculture, so I'm outside every day of my life, and I've noticed, I've been doing this for 25 years, there's about 3 weeks in October that if I can make it through those 3 weeks, my body will adjust to the shortening days. And I have a relative who farms several thousand acres down here, and his grandfather used to say, I never make a big decision on a gloomy, overcast day, land purchase, big equipment purchase. It affects your mood. Is it possible to get through those 3 weeks and your body adjusts? And I agree with you 100%. A crisp, zero-degree day in January with the sun blazing across the sky, give that to me any time in the middle of winter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what do you think, Dr. Ahmed?
I think, the beauty here is that this is experience, that he found that the snow and the sun, it bring joy and happiness and determination. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful scenery I have here. I'm going to overcome whatever inside of me. And this is good, excellent. But regarding those 3 weeks in October, one thing that you can do is kind of prepare yourself for it and maybe increase the amount of light that you have in your house or kind of increase the level of physical activities during a few weeks before the 3 weeks of October, and you are ready for it.
Yeah. You know, part of it, too, you know, daylight savings time goes out, which is always sad for me. It always takes me a week or so just for that one little silly hour. It takes a little bit of time to adjust to it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, you know, Larry, humor is good. Humor is good. Like, I found myself silly making comment to my patient, hey, happy winter, and they looked at me and they laughed.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I'm almost over my hour, losing my or gaining my hour of sleep. It's even worse when I lose the hour in the spring. I wish we could just stay on daylight savings time the year round. But
let us sign a petition for that, Larry.
You know, somebody, you talked about this earlier, but somebody wondered, tuning in a little later, studies of different ethnic groups and sad, and does proximity to the equator have an effect? And you say proximity does have an effect.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Like, you know, I was born and raised in Egypt. I came here, and it was a shocking experience for me to be in Wisconsin for the first couple of winters. But you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at your listener here. Each one of them decided to overcome that by his or her own way of adjusting to it. Exercise, having a pet, going out. Don't be afraid of winter time, you know. Go out and enjoy the beauty of the season we have.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We have cross-country skis and we have snowshoes, and we try to use them in the wintertime.
We should.
Dennis in Ogdensburg, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. You know, this is, I hope this is makes sense to you. I think I've got the opposite of what you people are talking about, because when the fall comes and the days get short and the winter hits, I feel way better. I don't, the summer when you talk about your daylight savings time, you can just get rid of that. The shorter the day gets, especially once it gets below 12 hours a day of sunlight, that's when I come back to life again. Now, I'm not terribly affected in the summer, but I just know that I'm way better through the fall, right through the winter into the spring, and then you start longing those days out, and they put that daylight savings time on, and I could just shoot the sun at about 8 o'clock at night every night.
There is nothing wrong of what you are telling us here. This is kind of, the makeup of your circadian rhythm is working for you, and there are people that they love winter, and people dislike the summer and the fall. Again, why is that? We don't know the answer to that. But one thing that I'm sure, I'm positive that you pull the curtain in during the summer, and you darken your house, and you like to work, or your profession, most probably it is one of those people you like to work at night, away from the bright light of the spring and the summer.
Yeah. One final a good question. What about SAD in children? Do you see that? Is it common? Or
we don't know much about that, but we know that teenage boys and girls, they are moody anyway. But
yeah, you're right about that.
Yes, and they believe it or not, they are. If you look at it, Johnny is doing very well in the summer, but in September, at the beginning of the school year, all of a sudden, we notice that his behavior is out of control. He is more irritable, more angry, more oppositional, fights with kids, and mom and dad are, what's happening to him? He was so good during the summer. Maybe the teacher knows. Maybe Johnny is having a seasonal affective disorder.
Mm.
And again, this should not be overlooked and ignored. It should be always in the back of our mind. When we see a teenager, behavior changes with the change of the season.
Dr. Ahmed, it's been great talking with you. I hope we have a chance to do this again. I appreciate your input and your suggestions and advice very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Mahmoud Ahmed, a psychiatrist at Marshfield Clinic in Eau Claire, great to have him with us to talk about this. It's something that affects a lot of people, seasonal affective disorder.